If you see me on tonight's show and it looks like I'm getting ready to have tears run down my face, don't worry. It's not anything you've done or anything someone else has done. It's just that we're finally here. We made it. We made it 2 days away. We have college football games that count, that matter, and all that other garbage that we've been spending time talking about. Not saying that you're wasting your time listening to the show, because you're not. But all that legalese, all that, you know, pro players coming back to the NFL, NIL this, transfer portal that, all that stuff, it doesn't matter. When that ball is spotted on the 20-yard line, you got college game day on in the background, it starts to get a little bit crisper outside. Some of the women in the audience may be drinking their pumpkin spice lattes. Fall is here. Football is here. Oh, and it feels really good. It feels really good. Loaded show tonight. It's been a busy day. Was out at Titans Bears joint practice earlier today. Just got off of the six with Connor New, our good friend of the program. Really excited to dive right in. Last show, well, we talked about some games in week zero. Tonight we're going to continue that conversation. Try to do a little bit of a deeper dive. I'm going to lock in my college football playoff predictions. At the beginning of the month, I put out a tweet. I put it out on my Instagram, put it out on YouTube. It's prediction season. Prediction season comes to an end tonight because after this month, there's nothing really to predict outside of the game predictions that we'll make each and every week. But prediction season pretty much stops and ends here tonight. We're going to make some picks for week zero. We have some more fall camp intel as we continue our fall camp intel series. And a small complaint, just one small complaint about college football. It has nothing to do with the games. No, I'm not really going to touch on what the SEC and what's going on with the local courts. Not really going to touch on that. This show is going to have a light theme. It's going to be one of those shows where you just kick your feet up. You sit back. We're having a conversation, you and I, and we're talking college football. That's what we're doing on tonight's show. I'm not getting into all that legalese stuff because, one, I'm not a lawyer, and two, that's not why I created the show. I created the show because I wanted to talk football. I wanted to talk games. So that's what we're going to do. Welcome in. Welcome in to the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. If you have not already, please make sure that you are subscribed to the channel, first of all. At Air Raid Parker Kelly, just you can time me up on YouTube and hit that subscribe button. Really helps us out. Really helps us out. Doesn't sign you up for anything. It's free. So why wouldn't you do it if something's free? Free is always better, right? And subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. I promise. That's enough begging for me. So with that, we dive headfirst into the show. I'm going to lead off the show by locking in my college football playoff predictions. The hay's in the barn, one of my favorite sayings. Got games in 2 days. I've got out a lot of my thoughts throughout the week because we have up this show to three times a week. We're live Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. So I've gotten all my thoughts out pretty much. We've just got a couple things to tie the knot, you know, to clean up some loose ends here. And that's why we're live tonight. So I'm locking in my college football playoff predictions. If you've been listening throughout the month of August, you know we've done playoff predictions, Heisman predictions, conference record predictions, all that stuff. I'm locking it in tonight. And we start with our championship games. We'll start with the Big 12. I think it's going to be a rematch of last year's Big 12 championship game between Texas Tech and BYU. Typically, the Big 12 has been one of those conferences where, from an entertainment standpoint, and really nothing else, it's been one of the more entertaining conferences to watch because when you're used to watching Big 12 football, and I, you know, go back 5 years, what are you saying when you watch Big 12 football? You're talking about the explosive offenses, not a lot of defense, and lots of parity. 2 years ago, I remember just sitting and watching the Big 12, and I think it was the second to last week of the regular season, and there was a 9-way tie for first place in the conference, and there could have been any of these different teams end up in the conference championship game. That was The year Colorado, they went 9-3 in the regular season, had Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter won the Heisman that year, all that stuff. I visibly remember there were 9 teams in the running for the Big 12 championship game, second to last week of the season. Now, with Texas Tech spending as much money as they are, they've kind of separated themselves from the pack, even though they're not going to have Brennan Sorsby, but they just they picked up a commitment from another quarterback who I'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But it's really Texas Tech and everybody else. Now, BYU, I think, has a really good case to be in that Tier 1 in the Big 12. They pretty much return everybody from last year's team. Kalani Sitake, their head coach, was Penn State, when they fired James Franklin, that's one of the guys that they went after. But he stayed in Provo. So there's continuity there. And plus, I mean, they're out in Utah, and there are a lot of Mormons out there in Utah. And that, you know, they have their two-year missions out of high school, so they're older. BYU is an old team. Their experience, they're returning basically everybody. I think they're towards the top of the Big 12 in returning production, which is a stat that I value tremendously. So I see Texas Tech and BYU meeting once again in the Big 12 championship. Now, I kind of have played with the idea of, well, can BYU win the Big 12? They can, absolutely. I'm not leaning BYU. I'm picking Texas Tech to win the Big 12. And I'm locking that in. For the ACC, Miami, would you believe me if I told you that Miami has never won an ACC championship game? They haven't. This is the year it all changes. Miami, after what they did last year, the additions that they have in the transfer portal, I know they lost a lot of production. I know they lost guys like Reuben Bain. I know they lost guys like Akeem Mesidor. I understand that. But their staff, the coaching staff, Mario Cristobal, as long as he's there, I'm going to blindly trust Miami's offensive line, Corey Heatherman, one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. I'm going to trust that defense despite what they lost to last year's NFL draft. That defense, I'm not going to come on here and say that it's going to be better than it was last year, but I think it can be on par to where it was. As far as their opponent, who they play in the ACC championship game, I've tossed around the idea of SMU. I've kicked around the idea of Louisville. Have I even considered the Clemson Tigers? Yes, I have. I'm not going Clemson. That's a debate for another time. I'm leaning SMU. I think it's either going to be SMU or Louisville. In the last couple of years, if I'm just being honest, I've kind of got burnt by Louisville because I think I've been a little bit higher on the Cardinals and just didn't necessarily see that same type of production in the regular season, which is okay. Things may turn around for them this year. But for SMU, I love their quarterback, Kevin Jennings. Legit NFL arm talent. If you haven't watched this guy play, one, I highly just recommend that you go on YouTube after the show, of course, and you just type in Kevin Jennings highlights and you watch him. That dude has NFL arm talent written all over him. So SMU will be Miami's opponent in the ACC championship game, and I have Miami winning. In the SEC, it's Georgia until proven otherwise. I get it. It's been Georgia's conference for years, basically, and since Kirby Smart has been there, is what it's felt like. Georgia's going to be playing in the SEC championship game, returning a quarterback in Gunnar Stockton. There aren't enough words that I can say about when you have a returning quarterback, what that does for a team. I mean, that's an automatically a plus. I think the floor of Georgia is, you know, a lot higher than the ceiling of some other teams. So I'm willing to trust Kirby Smart. I'm willing to trust Georgia. And they will be playing in the SEC championship game. Their opponent will be the Texas Longhorns. That roster that they have assembled on paper. And again, it's just paper as of right now. But I just think it's too talented. We've talked about on this show before how it feels like championship or bust for Texas this year. There's pressure on Steve Sarkisian, not the hot seat pressure, because Steve Sarkisian is not on the hot seat whatsoever, but there's pressure. The amount of money that they spent on that team, and honestly, some of the guys that they let go from last year's team so that they can bring in some of these other guys, there's pressure on Texas. So I expect Texas to be playing in the SEC championship game come early December. And you guys may call me a fool. I'm going against my better judgment here because it's not smart and I don't recommend it if I were you. To pick against Kirby Smart, I just don't recommend that. But I am doing it. And if I'm wrong, I'll wear the clown nose. But I'm picking Texas to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game in early December. And for the Big Ten, this is the conference that I have struggled the most with. Because like I was just talking about with Kirby Smart, you'd be a fool to doubt Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. I think you'd also be a fool to doubt Ohio State with Julian Sain returning and look at the guys that he will be throwing to, a.k.a. Jeremiah Smith. And then you have Oregon, who might have the best roster in all of college football, and it just feels like they're due for a breakthrough. They're due for a breakthrough in the postseason. Dante Moore, he turns down the NFL draft. He comes back to Eugene. He's got to perform when the lights are at his brightest, right? That's what it feels like. So I have Oregon in my Big Ten championship game. That game, though, I don't have the schedule pulled up right in front of me. But when they play Ohio State at Columbus, that is going to be one of the pinpoint games of the Big Ten season, for the whole Big Ten, about determining who's going to be playing in Indianapolis in early December. And then you have Indiana in there. Indiana, they play Ohio State. They actually host Ohio State in Bloomington in the biggest game in Indiana football history. So, why am I doing this? I've picked against Kirby Smart and I've picked against Kurt Cignetti in the same show. I'm going Oregon and I'm going Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game and giving me the Oregon Ducks to get it done. Second time in the last 3 years, Dan Lanning and the Ducks, they win the Big Ten championship game. Now let me pull up my playoff predictions that I had from Monday's show. I'm going to lock those in as well. Those were the final playoff predictions. So my one seed, I have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I believe they're going to go undefeated this year. They have three really marquee matchups that I'm looking at. That November 7th game, which they host Miami, I think that has game of the year potential written all over it. They have to go to Provo, Utah to take on BYU, and then they take on SMU in there as well. That game also in South Bend. But I think Notre Dame's going to run the table. I think they'll be undefeated. And if they're undefeated, I see them being the one seed. So I have Notre Dame at the one. I have your Big Ten champ, Oregon, at number two. I have your ACC champ, Miami, at number three, with their one loss coming to Notre Dame in South Bend. Outside of that, I just don't see Miami losing another game outside of that Notre Dame game, November 7th. And that includes the ACC championship game, by the way. I have your SEC champ, Texas, at number four, your Big Ten runner-up, Ohio State, at five, your SEC runner-up, Georgia, at six, Texas Tech, your Big 12 champ. This is where they fit into the equation. I have Texas Tech. Now, there's a good chance Texas Tech could go undefeated this year. There is. I talked about on the last show, and I actually just – there was a short put up on the YouTube channel – talking about how I believe their defense, you just go through that defense. Nine of their projected starters on defense are seniors. One of them is a junior, and then the other one's a sophomore. The sophomore is the only underclassman on that projected starting defense. So that's an old defense. It's a veteran defense. I believe the overall roster outside of quarterback has been upgraded, but I'm going to talk about that quarterback position coming up. So if Texas Tech runs the table, they win the Big 12, can you really put them over a Georgia? Can you really put them over Ohio State? Can you really put them over a Texas, considering that strength of schedule? So, and I made room for one loss for Texas Tech. So I have Texas Tech at number seven. I have Indiana at eight, Ole Miss at nine, LSU at 10, USC. I'm high on USC. I think this is the year. They have to do it or else Lincoln – Riley's going to get fired. But I have USC in the playoff. Prove me right, USC. And I have Boise State at 12. You're a group of six representative. So if we're doing quick math here, four teams from the SEC, four teams from the Big Ten. I have your independent Notre Dame, one ACC team, one Big 12, and then your group of six in Boise State. And that rounds out my top 12. So your matchups would be Ole Miss at Indiana in Bloomington. Just what? I mean, has this game ever been played before? Boise State at Ohio State. Could you imagine LSU and Lane Kiffin going to Lubbock, Texas? Two of the perceived villains in college football right now, with, you know, Texas Tech and the defending the Brendan Sorsby stuff, and Lane Kiffin and LSU trying to bring back NFL players to college. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine Lincoln Riley and USC going to Athens, Georgia to take on the Bulldogs? I have Indiana beating Ole Miss, Ohio State beating Boise, LSU beating Texas Tech, and Georgia beating USC. But if USC makes the playoff, I think Lincoln Riley secured his job for another year. In the semifinals, we get another matchup of Notre Dame and Indiana. This matchup was played a couple of seasons ago. But this was really before Indiana got, like, real, real good. They were still good that year, but they weren't what they were last year. We get a rematch. This game's not going to be played in South Bend, unfortunately, because college football hasn't figured out that the fans and everybody, they want games on campus in the second round. They haven't made that adjustment yet. They're very slow. But I have Notre Dame and Indiana. I have Texas and Ohio State, a rematch of week two. Oregon at LSU, or not at LSU, just Oregon and LSU, and Miami and Georgia. Those are some heavyweight matchups. I have Notre Dame beating Indiana. Lord help me for Doubt and Kurt Cignetti. Texas, I have them beating Ohio State. I have Oregon beating LSU, and I have Georgia beating Miami. So your top four here, your semifinals, they're set. Notre Dame and Texas and Oregon, Georgia. I have Notre Dame beating Texas and getting to the national championship game, and I have Oregon beating Georgia. So you have Notre Dame versus Oregon for the fourth straight year. No SEC representative in the college football playoff national championship. In fact, you have a Big Ten and an independent. And I have Notre Dame. I have Notre Dame as my preseason number one, and I have them winning the national championship, going wire to wire. I'm telling you guys, I'm really high on this Notre Dame team. Lock it in. And then for my Heisman prediction, I mean, Trinidad Chambliss. I think he's gonna be better this year than he was last year. And that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. He finished top 10 in the Heisman voting last year. But if you think about it, this is his second full season playing Division I football. Before that was at Ferris State, right? He got the sixth year, which allowed him to come back to Ole Miss in the first place. They have a new offensive coordinator in John David Baker, who came over from East Carolina. Before East Carolina, he was at Ole Miss. So there's some familiarity, at least being in Oxford. And what they run, what John David Baker runs, is really not all that different from what Lane Kiffin runs. And I think it's very conducive to what Trinidad Chambliss's abilities are. So I see Trinidad Chambliss. I think he's the most dangerous player in college football, and I'm really not trying to overthink the room on this one. I think Trinidad Chambliss is going to be your Heisman Trophy winner come early December. So lock him in. Lock him in. The hay is in the barn, as you can see at the bottom of the screen here. The hay is in the barn. CFB predictions are locked in. It has been a great prediction season on the show, and I really hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have. Moving on to a week zero preview. We talked about some games in week zero last week. Didn't do a full deep dive. I'm going to try to provide you with some final news and notes for these games that are coming up on Saturday. Obviously, the first game is North Carolina and TCU. That's an 11 o'clock kick in Dublin. But I'm going to kind of touch on some of the more premier matchups towards the tail end of the segment here. So let's start with San Jose State and USC. I don't think the line has moved all that much. I'm looking at DraftKings right here, 38.5 point favorite is USC over San Jose State. USC is going to win this game, right? That no one's really questioning that. But I'm just excited to see that first game for Jaden Maiava, year three under Lincoln Riley. I'm excited to see what that line of scrimmage looks like. And again, it's hard to tell because, you know, San Jose State is, you know, not exactly your Ohio State, but it's we haven't seen. We've been talking about USC really all spring and leading up to fall camp. It's just going to be exciting to see them take the field. So that is a 2 o'clock kickoff on NBC. I'm taking USC in that one. Jacksonville State, North Dakota State, that's 4:30 on the CBS Sports Network. That line has actually moved a little bit, where the Bison are a 7-point favorite from the Fargo Dome, which I've always wanted to go to the Fargo Dome. Maybe one day I'll make it happen. But they take on Jacksonville State, who was ravaged by the portal. So I'm going North Dakota State. I think that's a fair line. Also, their first game in the Mountain West. So welcome to the FBS, North Dakota State. Sacramento State and Eastern Michigan, that game will be emanating from Eastern Michigan. I'm told this is a new rivalry in the MAC. You have a team from California traveling to Michigan for a rivalry game. But Eastern Michigan, a 9.5-point favorite. If I were a betting man, and I'm not, but if I were, and I may be giving you some advice, I may be trying to make you some money here, I would take Eastern Michigan minus the 9.5. Sacramento State is moving up from the FCS, first season in the FBS. There's going to be an acclimation period there. And plus, they have to travel, you know, two time zones? Hawaii and Stanford. This was a really fun game last year. Really fun game. Won on a game-winning kick. Hawaii won this game. Hawaii has a tough quarterback by the name of Micah Alahato. He's a stud. And they take on Stanford, who does anybody know who Stanford's quarterback is? I'll pause for effect here. It's Davis Warren. Davis Warren, who used to be at Michigan not too long ago. This game will be at the Farm. And Stanford is a 4-point favorite. I like Hawaii. I not only like Hawaii minus the 4, but I may like Hawaii to win the game. Timmy Chang, really good head coach out there on not even the West Coast, in the islands. I like Hawaii. I think I'm going to take Hawaii to win this game. It's a gut feeling I have. Just looking at this slate, looking at the eight-game slate, looking at the point spreads and that sort of thing, I'm really leaning Hawaii on this one. New Mexico State, Florida State. Florida State is a minus 31.5-point favorite. We don't have to spend too much time on that. One of the few games that I see Mike Norvell and Florida State winning this year. Pressure's on. Pressure's on for Mike Norvell, and that brings me no joy to say because I wish every coach could go 11, you know, win 11 games, but that's just not the reality here. And been a tough last few seasons for Florida State, we can say. So the pressure's on for Mike Norvell and Florida State, and it starts with New Mexico State. How about North Carolina and TCU? Kicking off from Dublin, Ireland. Year two of Bill Belichick. They just named their starting quarterback not too long ago, Billy Edwards, a transfer from Wisconsin. Before that, he was at Maryland. You know who North Carolina's offensive coordinator is? Oh, he's a well-respected coach around, you know, CFB circles, and that's Bobby Petrino, who was at Arkansas last year. Bobby Petrino's known for having really good offenses. Their defensive coordinator, Steve Belichick, Bill's son, he will not be at this game. He was placed on medical leave, I believe it was, in August, so he won't be there. But I'm really excited for this game because we get to see another year of TCU and Sonny Dykes, but they bring in a quarterback from Harvard. by the name of Jaden Craig, who set, you know, conference records, Ivy League records, all kinds of school records, was one of the most coveted quarterbacks in the portal. And now he's making his Division I FBS Power 4 Big 12 debut. And Texas Tech, I think that line has a little bit of movement where TCU is a 9.5-point favorite. Now, a lot of people, and myself included, have made sure to take some, try to get some dunks on Bill Belichick and the situation going on in North Carolina. It's a mess. We all know it is. I like TCU minus 9.5. I think it may not be the beatdown that it was last year. I mean, you remember that game. It was Monday night. It was Labor Day. It was a night kick in Chapel Hill. College game day was there. They had a whole pregame show and everything. Everyone was hyping up Bill Belichick. Everybody was hyping up North Carolina. And then TCU just splattered them. Just, I mean, if it wasn't a football game, everybody would have been arrested in Fort Worth. It was bad. North Carolina scored that first touchdown, but it was all TCU from that point on. TCU is going to win this game. And I like TCU minus 9.5, and I'm really excited to see Jaden Craig. That's a name that you're going to want to familiarize yourself. Again, transfer from Harvard, a really, really talented quarterback there. NC State and Virginia. This game was originally supposed to be played in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and then the college football gods intervened, and this game was moved to Charlottesville because games – should be played on college campuses, or else why would you have them? Why would you have stadiums on campus? NC State and Virginia, early ACC game. Early ACC game, and I just saw a report before we got on the air not too long ago that Virginia is going to have 16 players out of this game. This is going to be a fascinating quarterback matchup with CJ Bailey, who, like I was talking about earlier with Kevin Jennings at SMU, CJ Bailey has legit NFL arm talent. One of the more underrated quarterbacks in the entire country. And they go to Virginia. Virginia is a 4-point favorite. And I think this game is going to come down to a field goal. I really do. I think it's going to be a razor thin margin. I really like Bo Pribula, who's going to be starting at quarterback for Virginia. I don't see Tony Elliott and the Cavs able to replicate what they were able to do last year, getting 11 wins. I just don't see that being the case. And I think NC State is their most dangerous when they're not really getting talked about. There's not a lot of buzz. But I think I'm leaning NC State in this game. Give me NC State over Virginia. And that brings us to the game that I actually am most fascinated by. The game that I'm going to be locked into all these games, but this game is the one I'm looking forward to the most. And that's Memphis at UNLV. Here's the reason why. Memphis has been, you know, they've had different coaches. You know, they've had Mike Norvell. Now they have Charles Huff. It was Ryan Silverfield last year. They've had different coaches, but they've still been able to have success. And I'm really high on the American Conference as a whole. I believe it's probably, if you force me to pick the best group of six conference as it stands right now, I'm looking at the American. So can Memphis be that group of six representative in the college football playoff at the end of the year? They certainly, I've certainly made the case for them to be, but I can also make the case for UNLV. Dan Mullen in year two, Jackson Arnold is their starting quarterback this year, transferred from Auburn last year. Now, he didn't have success at Auburn, and prior to Auburn, he didn't have much success at Oklahoma, but maybe he finds that success at the group of six level. UNLV is a 4.5-point favorite. It's a late kick, 9 p.m. on Fox. Give me UNLV to win this game. And I think that UNLV is certainly going to be in the conversation at the end of the year to potentially be that group of six representative in the college football playoff. So I'm going with UNLV, and those are my week zero picks. I'm going to post them out just in case you happen to have missed the show. I'm going to post my picks a little bit later on the socials. So make sure you're following me at Parker_Kelly10, wherever you social media. I'm on Twitter, X, whatever you call it. I'm on Instagram. I'm even on TikTok, posting reels consistently over there on TikTok. So that wraps up that segment. Now is where we get to the point in the show where we talk about Texas Tech, the most recent acquisition they have to their quarterback room. I saw the news yesterday about Thomas Castellanos committing to Texas Tech. It was one of those situations where he ran out of eligibility. He had to declare for the NFL draft, but I believe he filed a lawsuit wanting an extra year, that sort of thing. Spent some time at UCF, Boston College was last year, was at Florida State. But thanks to multiple, you know, it seems like there are so many court rulings, Louisiana, Colorado, you know, all these different courts are filing injunctions on behalf of, you know, the class of 2022 so that they can get their fifth year of eligibility. And that should have been expected when the NCAA made their ruling about, you know, the new 5 for 5. Someone was going to get the short end of the stick. And my response to all of this is life is just unfair sometimes. I get it. I hate it for you. I hate it for you that you had to, you know, once you ran out of eligibility, that was it. You had to go. You had to go. But if the NCAA or whoever at this point is going to enforce this 5 by 5, somebody's going to get left out. That's just the way it is. You got to be able to roll with the punches. But the NCAA also should have expected that they were going to get this type of backlash when they introduced this no rule. I believe it was in June. So Thomas Castellanos technically never signed an NFL contract. I remember he tried out for the Tennessee Titans as a wide receiver, but he never made it to minicamp, never made it to OTAs, never made it to training camp, that sort of thing, never signed a contract. So because of the temporary injunction against the NCAA, and it's a way to kind of go around the rules of, you know, all four power conferences put out this ban on pro players returning to college athletics. The wording was if you signed a contract. Technically, Thomas Castellanos did not sign a contract, so he was able to enter the transfer portal. He was able to commit to Texas Tech. That whole Brennan Soresby thing blew up in their face. They're riding with Will Hammond. And then they get a commitment from Thomas Castellanos. So there's been some discourse about who their starter is going to be. Well, if you're thinking about the time of year in which Thomas Castellanos is coming in, he's missed spring. Spring is in the past, way in the past at this point. Basically missed all of fall camp. Will Hammond has been there for all of it. He was there last year and actually played in some meaningful games. But I just don't see Texas Tech bringing in a guy like Thomas Castellanos to just sit the bench for his final year of eligibility. So I have no idea. I expect Will Hammond to start for him week one because it's just a lot to ask of Thomas Castellanos to come in right away and learn the offense and that sort of thing. So Thomas Castellanos, is he eventually going to take over as the starter? I don't know. And I honestly don't like that we're having to talk about this right now. I don't like this for Will Hammond because when that Brennan Soresby thing happened, I mean, that was the guy. Like, he's the starter. And I want him to get his opportunity. And now this thing, I don't know how that muddies the water and that sort of thing. But if you think they're bringing in Thomas Castellanos just for him to sit the bench, I think you're a little crazy. I think he's going to play at some point. I'm interested to see how this goes. I'm really interested to see how this goes. And obviously there's just a ton of madness going on with the local courts. And I believe Pete Thamel and Max Olson just put out that the local courts have now filed there's some sort of ban against the SEC and Big Ten and Big 12 and ACC for trying to enforce this ban on pro players returning. That has been banned. Just a lot of chaos going on. Luckily, We're not talking about that on tonight's show because I'm about talked out of that. And we're all sharing a brain here. It's craziness. It's just pure madness, stupidity. But when the games kick off on Saturday, will we be really thinking about this? We continue our fall camp intel series with the Texas A&M Aggies. And reports are, I just saw this from On3 before we got on the air here, talking about Marcel Reed and how many plays that he's made in fall camp. And he just keeps making play after play after play. Now, I like Marcel Reed. I thought he played really well towards the back half of the regular season last year. I actually thought he might be, even in the Heisman conversation, I thought he played that well down the stretch. Well, they lost their offensive coordinator, Colin Klein. So there are questions. I'm not going to label it a concern, but there are questions about how he'll look like with a first-year offensive coordinator. Their OC is a guy by the name of Holman Wiggins, who's never called plays before in 23 years of being a head coach. So what does that look like? But it sounds like reports out of fall camp are Marcel Reed's been making plays in this new offense. So that's obviously really encouraging to hear. There's a lot of turnover on that offensive line. Their only returning starter is their center. So they have to replace left tackle, left guard, right tackle. Will they be able to overcome that much churn on the offensive line? They certainly recruit to a very high level. They bring in guys from the transfer portal at a very high level. It's Texas A&M. There's no shortage of resources there, and it's a very football-rich program. And their run defense. The run defense was just, I'm not going to say abysmal, but it wasn't good by any means last year. They ranked 8th in the SEC, 40th nationally, allowing just under 131 rushing yards a game. So will that improve? I'm really excited to see the wide receiver core. Mario Craver, one of the best returning wide receivers in college football. They bring in Isaiah Horton, who was at Miami, at Alabama. He's back for his first year at College Station. Ashton Bethel Roman is another returning wide receiver for Texas A&M. I'm really excited to see how he looks for him. And defensively, this is I'm just willing to blindly trust that the defense is going to be good under Mike Elko. Now, projected starters, I think they have 5 projected returning starters from last year's team. And they either have to, you know, replace the, you know, those 7 guys, but there's experience there. They're not just going to throw some, you know, washed up player out there. Like, no, they recruit very well and they get experience of guys out of the portal. So now it's just about meshing that chemistry together, which I think Mike Elko is a, you know, top 10 coach in the sport at this current point in time. So I think he'll be able to do that. So I trust the defense. But if you look at the schedule, and I'll just read off, you know, it's, you know, Missouri State in week 1. They host Arizona State, host Kentucky. So it's 3 straight home games to kick off the season for Texas A&M. They're at LSU in week 4. They return home to take on Arkansas. They have to go to Missouri, host the Citadel, go to Alabama, go to South Carolina. Back-to-back road games for them there, but there's a bye week sandwiched in between. They have Tennessee on November 14th at College Station. They're at Oklahoma, and then they have Texas to wrap up the season. So for Texas A&M, you're a team coming off an 11-1 regular season, a berth in the college football playoff. I know the loss to Miami was there. This was a team, like, literally started 11-0, but then lost their final 2 games. Games that I just have circled. I mean, that Arizona State game, that's not a layup. Arizona State's a good team, but it's at College Station, so I expect Texas A&M to win it, and plus they have the roster edge there. But the games I'm looking at, you have to go to LSU. Missouri, going to Missouri is going to be tough, but I trust Texas A&M to win that game. Going to Alabama, Tennessee, is in there, at Oklahoma in Norman, and then the Texas game. So I can't just come on here and say that Texas A&M is going to do what they did last year. I remember I predicted a couple weeks ago when we did SEC record predictions. I had Texas A&M going 9-3 and missing the playoffs. It's just hard for me to say, you know, they're going to win at LSU, they're going to win at Alabama, they're going to win at Oklahoma, and then they're going to win that Texas game at the end of the year. I can see them definitely getting, you know, I certainly believe they'll get one out of those three. They could even get two out of those three. But to win three of those four, that's tough for me to envision at this point in time. And I don't think 9-3 is a bad year for Texas A&M, because you remember, the SEC implemented the 9-game conference schedule, plus you play a 10th game in the out-of-conference. In this case, for Texas A&M, it's Arizona State in week two, which they get at home. But until there's a little bit of nuance involved regarding strength of schedule and the college football playoff committee, I'm curious to know when that first team, whether it's for, you know, from the SEC or from the Big Ten or whatever, that has a tough strength of schedule can get in the college football playoff at 9-3. But I still think there's this myth among the college football playoff committee that you are what your record says you are. And I've used the example of James Madison, who went 11-1. Their best win was against Washington State, and their one loss was to Louisville, a team outside of the top 25, and they lost by a couple of touchdowns, versus a team like Texas, who went 9-3, but had a win over Texas at the end of the year, lost to Ohio State on the road by one touchdown. I'm not advocating that Texas should have got into the playoff last year. In fact, I think it was the right decision that they got left out. But Texas's 9-3 is better than James Madison's 11-1. So that's what I'm saying. There's this myth in college football that you are what your record says you are. So a 9-3 for Texas A&M with that schedule, which is in the preseason a top 25 strength of schedule, I don't think that's a bad year. And I know it's not making the playoffs last year, but I don't think that's a bad year. One final thing to wrap up the show, and I promise this will be quick. I saw the news yesterday. It was hard to miss that ESPN is removing the score ticker at the bottom of college football games on Saturdays. That's your biggest concern right now? I mean, am I just out of the loop here? Did people complain about that? I don't think anybody complained about that. I didn't. It's actually kind of an inconvenience for people, because I enjoyed when I'm watching games, and I watch, you know, multi-screen. I have a couple of TVs out on a college football Saturday. I'm just like you guys. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of college football. But I enjoyed seeing the score ticker at the bottom, because if there was a game that I wasn't watching, I could at least see what the score was. Now I have to have my phone out looking at ESPN, looking at the scores while the game is going on. I have to be checking my phone during the game to see what the scores are. I'm baffled by that. Like, it didn't really hinder the viewer at home. It didn't hinder their viewing experience at all. People, I don't think there was I didn't hear a single person complain about the score ticker at the bottom of games. Am I missing something here? So I fired off a tweet yesterday and said, whose decision was this? And why are they still employed? Like, what are we doing? Are we removing score tickers from the end? Like, what are we doing, dude? I don't think anybody had a problem with that. I certainly didn't, and I'm going to miss it. I don't want to have my phone out constantly checking scores while I'm trying to watch, you know, four games at one time. That's an inconvenience to me. If anything, you're making my viewing experience as a viewer a lot harder because you removed the score ticker. So I don't know what this – whoever made this decision, it was an awful call by them. But, like, are you trying to make the viewers at home? Are you trying to make our job harder? I don't know. I was not a fan of the move, as you can tell. I was not a fan of the move. And I know a lot of you aren't either. So that wraps up week 0, picks and previews, Hayes in the barn. a couple more days, not even 48 hours from now, we'll have college football. We'll have games that count. Remember, and I'm going to put this reminder out on my socials on the day of game day, that week zero is not the official kickoff to the season. It's just the appetizer to the main course. Now, we all like appetizers, right? Like, I love a good appetizer, but I know it's not the main course. Week one, that's the main course. So, really excited. Have games to talk about. I'm going to watch every game. I know a lot of you will be too. Make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. Really helps us out, and it's free. Subscribe to the 102.5 channel, too, while you're at it. And we will talk after next week. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the college football. We'll have a recap show next Monday. And we will be full steam ahead, previewing week one. We made it. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the college football. Take care and God bless.